recorded Hayseed Dixie off their first album, well, You Shook Me All Night Long. You can get rid of that because I got the boys here in the studio with me. Barley Scotch and the Reno brothers, Don Wayne Reno and Dale Reno, are here with me. Welcome back, boys. Good to see you again.
Good to see you.
Good to see you. You know, instead of listening to the CD, how about if we listen to you guys play a little something before you go down and work at Blueberry Hill tonight?
Blueberry.
Right, that is where we're going to be.
You're going to be in the Duck Room at Blueberry Hill. You want to start us off with a little something? I notice on this new album you do some originals, you do some Led Zeppelin, you do some Van Halen. The idea is it's hillbilly classic rock. So what do you want to start us off with here this afternoon?
Well, shucks, just in case people don't remember what it is that we do, we'll just start off with that one you were just playing.
All right.
She was a fast machine, she kept her motor clean. She was the best dang woman I ever seen. She had the sight and size of telling me no lies, knocking me out with them American thighs. Taking more than a share, had me fighting for air. Told me to come, but I was already there. Clawed the walls, girls were shaking. The earth was quick and my mind was aching. We wasn't making it here, shook me home. Swing along the walls was a shaking, the earth was a quaking, my mind was sagging. We wasn't making it. Shook me all night long. Oh, you shook me all night long. Knocking me out, I say to you, shook me all night long. You really took me in you. Shook me all night long. Yeah, you shook me. You really took me all night long. Oh, Lord.
Oh, yeah. That was so good, we broke a banjo string there.
That's a first.
Too bad this ain't TV. Y'all could have seen the look on his face.
That's a first thing for the fourth,
moving along way too smooth.
Yeah. You want to get another one wrapped up there, Don Wayne?
It's always fun until somebody gets hurt. Yeah. Then it's really fun.
That happens. Yeah. It happens. Anyway, welcome back. It's good to see you guys after, I don't know how long it's been since I've had you in the studio, but I know you and I, Barley, have talked on the phone. And
I think it's been about 2 years since we've actually been here.
Has it been that long?
It's actually been about a year and a half since we've spent any real time in the U.S., so it's kind of nice to be back home in a lot of ways.
Where have you been?
Oh, man. Let's see. Well, long about last August, not this one that just came by, but the one before that, we went over to Britain, to the UK, just kind of on a little excursion. We had no idea how it would do, and we'd never been able to get anything released over there. You know, a lot of people think that when you put a record out, it's out all over the whole world, but no, it's not. You got to take it one country at a time. So we went over there, and we thought we was going to go for about a week, and we'd sort of see how it went, you know. Well, we got over there, and, Lord, we sold out all seven shows, and the crowds went nuts, and the kids said we played with guts, and we got, you know, five-star reviews in The Guardian, and the BBC just fell in love with us, and we just kind of didn't come back for about a year.
Wow, a year.
Well, roughly. I mean, we hopped back over for about a week or two at a time to see families and stuff, but they just kept throwing these money offers at us to play shows, and the pound over there is worth about twice what the dollar is, so it's kind of like doubling your money in a way.
So they're familiar with the hillbilly concept there?
Well, they are now. They they know all about it now. I think we did about 200 shows in that one little island. It's about the size of Florida without the panhandle, actually. You think of these places like England or Ireland or whatever as countries that you've heard of your whole life, so you expect them to be big, and then you get there and you realize you can drive from the top to the bottom of Denmark in 2.5 hours. I mean, there's 4 million people in Denmark. That's what, about the population of St. Louis, roughly, in the whole country. About 4.5 million people in Ireland. Of course, it takes you about 10 hours to drive from top to bottom of it, not because it's big, but because the roads are man, two little two-lane cattle trails. But
that must have made you feel like you were back home in Deer Lick Holler.
A little bit, except it's kind of flat, actually. Ireland's pretty flat and rocky. They're nice people, but I can see why a lot of them had to leave.
Sheep. Lots of sheep.
Oh, sheep and rocks everywhere.
Lots of sheep. Morning, ladies.
That's what makes the whiskey taste so good, is all the peat moss that's running through. But, yeah, Ireland, I think the population of Ireland's about 4.5 million, too, actually. And, I mean, there are more people, I think, in the metro Boston area that can legitimately claim Irish ancestry than there are in the whole country of Ireland.
Wow.
Yeah, so they were prolific, you could say. Mm-hmm. But they did real well in Ireland and the U.K. and got all over the U.K. Been to lots of places there that most people that live there hadn't been to.
Now, when you went there, you said the album had only been out in the U.S., and so you released it in England, and then you went there. Were there people there who were familiar with you, or was it, as soon as you got there, word of mouth spread?
There were a few people, but you'd be surprised, not that many, really. It was almost like we'd already been a band, I think, for about 4 years at that time.
Yeah, starting from scratch.
And but it was like we just had started all brand fresh over there. So, everybody talks about the internet and all that. I don't know.
But it did happen kind of quick. I mean, once
turn that mic up there, Don.
Once the ball got rolling, you know, it kind of just snowball. Mm-hmm. You know?
But it being a smaller country, I guess, and also they got what they call the BBC there, which is national radio.
Right.
So you get on that, you got the whole country in one big fell swoop, whereas over here we kind of got to, you know, go to every town and do every
show.
And I'm sure
the internet has helped you because, as you know, I've got some of our previous stuff on my website.
Oh, no, I know that.
And I get a lot of hits from all over the world for people going specifically to that page to listen to some of the appearances you've done on my show.
Mm-hmm. So what I found more than in the UK.
Spreading the word. Spreading the gospel.
Spreading the love.
More than in the UK. Actually, when we went to places like Norway, that's where we had like, you know, 300 or 400 people show up at every show, and we'd say, how in the world did y'all know about us? And they'd say, yeah, the internet, you know.
Yeah.
That's where we got it more, was on continental Europe, the Netherlands and Norway and places like that. Norway's real nice, actually. Reminded me a lot of Alaska, real mountainy, big snow-covered, you know, mountain peaks and stuff like that, and blonde-haired girls that say yah a whole lot.
That's a good thing.
Oh, yeah. They're pretty forward. I had one of them come up to me in this hotel lobby, come walking up and says, I see you have a wedding ring on, so that means you must be married. But that's okay. I find you attractive. And if we go upstairs to your hotel room, I will tell no one. I'm going, well, that's almost not even sexy. I mean,
Cliff Williams from AC/DC told me, he said, oh, Dale, you got to watch the Norwegians, mate, especially the blondes. They can be a mot dangerous.
Well, they're all blonde. Right up there. Looks like
I would
Claudia.
Think the dangerous ones there would be the brunettes.
Now, redheads are the ones that are the
dangerous.
Well,
that's what's cool about it. Actually, see, big old hairy Cro-Magnon looking nasty ugly guys like us, we go over there and they think we're all gorgeous because they're used to these big, you know, I am Vlad Nordic God looking chiseled guys.
Really?
You know? Oh, yeah, man. You get a guy with a big bunch of hair and a big beer gut and
you
a
mean
hairline
we
like
have
us.
A shop there?
You daggum right, man. All you fellas out there who think.
Novelty.
I'm telling you, yeah. Everybody wants what they ain't got.
Wow.
You know? I ain't lying to you.
All right, now I got to ask a little bit of history here because on the new album, A Hot Piece of Grass, you guys play a song that was written by Don and Dale's dad.
Right.
Don Reno wrote a song that, of course, became famous because of a movie. The movie was Deliverance. The song was Dueling Banjos. But give me a little history. Where did that song originate, and what's your dad's role in that?
Well, in 1955, Dad was working with a fellow by the name of Arthur Smith down in Charlotte, North Carolina. And they wrote and recorded the song in 55 and put it on the B-side of a single that was on, I believe it was MGM Records or something like that. And then, you know, 20 years later, they put it in that movie and failed to give everybody the proper writer's credits.
Is that right?
In the movie, and they got sued and lost and restored the writer's credits, but the sad part about that is our dad sold his part of the song in 1955 for
$100. Oh! So the fact that somebody finally won the royalty battle 20 years later didn't actually accrue to him at all?
Well, Not in a royalty sense, no. Mm-hmm. But they Arthur was generous in, you know, some business ventures with our dad, you know.
Well, that's nice.
As a result, yeah.
Is there any way I can convince you guys to give me a little bit of dueling banjos here to
Santa? Yeah,
do you have the banjo tuned back up with the new string on it?
The British really like this song, too, Paul.
They really like it.
I mean, complete with Yankee Doodle and all that in it.
I tell you, though, that movie that made it famous has always actually bothered me a lot, though, Paul.
Well, that's because you're from that part of the country.
Well, that's right. And I've always thought that movie misrepresented our people quite dramatically, actually. I mean, well, for example, if that movie was realistic, I mean, none of those boys would have ever made it out of there to ever tell that story. I mean, we are way better shots than that, man. They're making us appear really sloppy. I mean, if I can drop a buck from 350 yards, I reckon I can hit Ned Beatty. Speaking of which, now, I ain't Norwegian, so I ain't looking for the big old fat guy. I mean, young Burt Reynolds now. But anyway, I digress.
Are you telling me that even in Norway, Ned Beatty would still be... Ned Beatty?
Oh, he'd be rocking.
Oh, he'd be rocking over there?
Running. That's what
he'd
I'm saying.
He'd be Beatty.
They like the whole.
All right. Let's hear a little bit of
it.
Here we go.
Come on.
Don Wayne, how old were you when your dad taught you that? Turn that up again here,
about
so we can
12,
turn.
About 12 years old, I guess.
Because that's dad turning that on. You know, here I got to pass this one on to my son.
Yeah, that was back then when I just started learning to play guitar. Was when the song was a hit on the radio, so I learned it for that reason more than the fact that my dad had anything to do
girls,
with it.
The right reason to learn the song.
Yeah, it was real cool because that song was played on your rock and roll radio stations.
Oh,
it
yeah.
wasn't played on your country stations back in 1971 when the movie came out.
Yeah, that was a monster.
So it was the coolest bluegrass thing. I mean, you know, I was such a nerd for playing bluegrass back then, and when that song came out, it was cool. You know, to play, you know, acoustic instruments.
Absolutely.
You know, especially in the early 70s, you know, when everybody's more into Jimi Hendrix or Black Sabbath or something like that.
And
you
he
know.
Got his first girl from mandolin, and that started him on his lifetime pursuit.
All right, Hasey Dixie's going to be at the Duck Room at Blueberry Hill tonight, and it is a great show. Are the Kerosene Brothers opening for you tonight?
No, we hadn't done that in about
the Kerosene burned out.
Yeah, the Kerosene all burned up. When we took off to Britain, we went over four pace just as the Hayseed line up because, well, that's what they were expecting. And I tell you one thing we've learned, too, after having a lot of bands open for us that have drums and amps and all that, it's a lot of trouble to carry all that around, Paul.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something
this
nice.
This don't weigh nothing, Paul.
Yeah, something nice about walking onto an airplane with an instrument in one hand, a suitcase in the other, and that's all you need to do the show. And so, yeah, we had a lot of fun doing the Kerosene Brothers stuff there. But
tonight it'll be just Hayseed Dixie.
Yeah.
Blueberry Hill Duck Room, and we're back with more in just a moment here. It's the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX. Here's a little bit from the boys in Hayseed Dixie just moments ago here in the studio on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX. And today we had it's kind of News Talk bluegrass, because that's what the boys do here. They take classic rock tunes and a little hillbilly bluegrass twist to them. And their fourth album is called A Hot Piece of Grass. Uh-huh. And I know you got some classic stuff on there and some of your own originals. But somebody emailed me, a guy by the name of Don, emailed and said, how come they don't do contemporary stuff? It would be funny to hear them doing more modern stuff than stuff from the 60s and 70s.
Well,
why is that, Barley?
There's a song on the record called Holiday that's a tune by this Green Day band. We did a version of that on the new record.
Mm-hmm.
We've done a few. I mean, shucks, I don't know. That makes it sound like there's more of a method to this than there really is. I mean, honestly, we pretty much just sit down and drink some beer and start picking tunes and figure whatever tunes we're having fun playing while we're drinking some beer, the chances are some other beer drinkers will enjoy listening to them, you know?
Yeah.
And that's about the only method that there really is involved.
Beer is a major factor in the whole Hayseed Dixie concept, isn't it?
Yeah, yes.
Well, yeah.
Like Flatten Scruggs. You know?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the we're in the music business for the right reasons. The free beer, getting your bar tab paid. They usually give you the free beer when you play a show. And the women. Basically in that order. I mean, if we're going to be in a bar chasing women and drinking beer every night anyway, we might as well be getting paid to be there.
That's right.
This is no joke, though. We were so used to getting free beer at every place we play. I went to took my girl out to a bar the other night, you know, for a few drinks and dinner. And let me tell the story. I got
get him in trouble,
I got
Barley.
My beer and I walked away and they, you know, they said, well, you know, sir, you owe me $4.50 for it. I totally forgot that I'm supposed to pay for beer. You know,
like the regular
and
people.
And then I felt insulted because they asked me for the money for it. You know, it's like, well, I never buy beer.
Yeah, I'm Dale Reno.
If only you'd had your mandolin with you that day, Dale. Yeah. All right, let's get a little more music in here. How about something original off the new album?
Well, the second half of the new record's all songs we wrote. This is one about our families up in East Tennessee. If you want to get your eyes knocked out, you want to get your fill. You want to get your head shot off, just climb up Kirby Hill. Hey! My daddy made corn whiskey up on Kirby Hill. Just like his dad before him in an old pot belly still. He never took to strangers heading up that way. When you hear him talk about it, this is what it says. If you want to get your eyes knocked out, you want to get your fill. Want to get your head shot off, just climb up Kirby Hill. Hey! One night some revenueers thought they'd take the old man down. They asked about the way up Kirby Hill all over town. They headed up the mountain around about 10:30. Reckon now it's safe to say we ain't never seeing them again. Hey, if you want to get your eyes knocked out, you want to get your fill. You want to get your head shot off, just climb up Kirby Hill. Hey! Great-great-granddaddy used to talk about the war between the governments. Back when old Jeff Davis and Abe Lincoln were the presidents. Hey, watch the armies marching up, man. Watch the folks march by. No army never took this hill. No army dared to shy. Hey, if you want to get your eyes knocked out, you want to get your fill. You want to get your head shot off, just climb up Kirby Hill. Hey! Helicopters sent by the DEA. They bang the lies, they can do my buds. Stay the hell away. Hey, if you want to get your eyes knocked out, you want to get your fill. You want to get your head shot off, just climb up Kirby Hill. Hey, if you want to get your eyes knocked out, you want to get your fill. You want to get your head shot off, just climb up Kirby Hill. Hey! Climb up
AC Dixie live here on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX. Nice job. Here's what I'm thinking while you're playing the song. I love the lyrics. I love the instrumentation. Virtuoso musicianship going on. But we need to take you guys to the next level. I've known you guys like, what, 4 or 5 years?
I think so.
Since the first album came out. And we've done stuff on the show. We've done stuff on the phone. We've done stuff on the internet.
And you've come to the show.
I've come to your gigs, absolutely. Here's the next thing. We need to have Hazy Dixie Night on American Idol.
That'd work for me.
Hey!
I'd do just to get on TV, period, at this point.
I mean, if they could do Barry Manilow
night.
No, we
need to be the judges, and people, that the contestants need to come on and see if they can get hayseeded on up there. That'd be the way to do that.
Pretty good. See how,
because we got our technique down.
That's right.
You know, speaking of TV, I'll tell you something. We never did really manage to ever get on any television in the U.S., but we did so well over in England that we got on this show called Top of the Pops over there twice. You ever heard of it?
Uh-huh.
I didn't know. I mean, I'd heard of it, but I don't watch British television, so I didn't know. We got over there, and everybody says, you know, that's the biggest thing on TV. You know, I guess it'd be kind of like doing Leno and Letterman and Conan all rolled together or something. But we get over there, and they tell us that they want us to play along with the record. They, you know, they don't want us to actually just play the
song.
You
had to lip sync it?
Well, that's what they wanted us to do, see? And we said, well,
was Dick Clark producing Britain TV?
No. Apparently, that's what everybody does. And we couldn't believe it. We said, well, what's the deal? I mean, there's no production on our record. It's just what we sound like. I mean, we just sat around some mics and did it. There's not like we can pull it off, you know? And I said, yeah, but it'd be, you know, we need to have set time limits and all that. And I said, well, we don't even know what's on the record, man. I hadn't listened to that thing in about a year since we recorded it. They're like, but you played the song. Well, yeah, we played the song, but we don't ever play it exactly the same way twice.
In fact, that's another important part of Hazy Dixie.
Yeah.
When people come see you live, it's not going to sound exactly note for note like the record. It's going to be different every time.
Because we don't remember what was on the record.
And no.
Depending on how much beer we're drinking, or whether we're mixing some whiskey with it, or what the girl in front of us looks like at that particular moment, you never really know what's exactly going to happen. So we just kept telling them, why don't you just let us play the darn song? And they said, well, look, well, how about this? We'll meet you in the middle. We'll turn the vocal mics on, and y'all come into our studio the day before and record the instrumental track the way that you're going to do it. I said, but you don't understand. We don't know how we're going to do it. And they said, well, how long is the song going to be then when you play it? Well, I don't know, somewhere between 3 and 4 minutes. They're like, we need to know exactly. I said, well, it depends on how fast we play it. They said, well, how fast you going to play? I said, I don't know. Depends on how drunk we're going to get, how much time we got to sit around and wait, and just how many good-looking girls you're going to put in front of me, you know, with the cue card going, you know, wave at Barley and show him you're not. I mean, that might get me to play real fast. I mean, tell you what you do. You have a guy over there, and about halfway through the song, if it looks like we're going to clock in too slow, you get those women to raise their shirts up in front of me. We'll come in real fast. Now, if it looks like we're going to come in too fast, you get a big old bunch of fat women, you know, big ugly ones, big old scary pit bull looking women out there in front of me to do the same thing, and we'll drag it way down.
Uh-huh.
Or we might speed up just to get the heck off the stage. That's what you don't know, see?
I'm guessing that at that point, the guy said, get off the show. Well, you're never going to be on TV anywhere ever.
Oddly enough, they went ahead and just gave in and let us do it. We call it the bulldog technique, where you just continue to plow over them and over them, and you just defeat them into silence by battering ramming them with all the, you know, endless flux of what I'm doing right now.
Hey, and then 30 days later,
they got us to come back
to do it again, and it's never been done in the history of Top of the Pops ever.
Wow.
A band with no top 10 record be on the show twice within 30 days.
Did you do the same song both
times?
No, we did Holiday that time.
Did that
Green came out with the black eyeliner
makeup all around everywhere. And Dale, actually, he liked it so much.
Yeah, I liked it kind of.
He's been doing it every night since, but I think it's a pickup trick, what I think.
Hey, I got Juliette Lewis to put it on.
He did, that actress chick.
Juliette Lewis was there?
We were in France, actually. Playing a festival in France, yeah, and she had the dressing room right next door to ours, and hers had a toilet, and ours didn't. And so I knocked on her door, and I said, I kind of really need to go bad, you know, could I borrow your bathroom? And she said, yeah, sure. And so Dale took the opportunity to use his now tried and true technique of, honey, could you help me put on my eyeliner?
She did it. She did a good job.
Pretty cool. Let me take a break. We'll come back with more here. Don't forget, they're at Blueberry Hill playing in the Duck Room tonight. If you've never seen him, you're going to have a great time when you go see Hazy Dixie. This is the Paul Harris Show on KMOX. That's Hazy Dixie live in the studio here with me. Kirby Hill's one of the originals off their new album called A Hot Piece of Grass. They're going to be down at Blueberry Hill tonight. That's Kirby Hill. They'll be at Blueberry Hill. It's a whole theme thing going on here on the Paul Harris Show. And before I let you guys go, give me one more song off the new album, if you would.
All righty, we'll do do one of our versions of an old classic here. And I should tell people, too, if they want to see the video to the thing, you can go to our website at hayseed-dixie.com. And you can
don't forget the dash.
Yeah, the dash got to be in there. And you can go to our tasting room section where we put up all the nuggets and stuff. And then you can see the completely homemade video shot on our own little homemade video camera and edited on our laptop computer and Final Cut Pro. I mean, the point being, you ain't got to wait for anybody to give you a budget to go do anything creative anymore.
No.
Just go out there and do it your own darn self.
Yeah.
That's what we think, anyways. And if you don't have the guts, well, that's what liquor's for. Anyways, we'll see you tonight at the show. If you like to gamble, I tell you I'm your man. You win some, you lose some, it's all the same to me. Yeah, the pleasure is to play. Don't make no difference what you say. But I don't share your greed. The only card I need is the ace of spades. The ace of spades are right. Playing for the high one, dancing with the devil, going with the flow, it's all a game to me. Yeah, 7 or 11, snake eyes watching you. It's a double up or quit, double stakes are split. The ace of spades, the ace of spades.
Reno, Don Wayne Reno, and Barley Scotch, collectively known as Hayseed Dixie. I'm going to have to check the records, but I'm 100% sure that's the first time any Motorhead has ever been played on KMOX.
Hallelujah.
So thank you, guys. Tonight, Blueberry Hill in the Duck Room. Go see him. You can also get their album, Hot Piece of Grass, from their website, hayseed-dixie.com. And, of course, there are links to other appearances they've made on my show on my website, harrisonline.com. Guys, it's always great to have you in.
Nice
great
to be back,
you,
Paul.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate
we'll see you tonight here in St. Louis. It's the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.